As a homeowner, I can't help myself. I'm always thinking about fixing this and changing that. For the money, for the beauty, for the knowledge and the peace of mind. It's about time for the Love My Renovation Project with Mike Young.
Welcome to Love My Renovation Project with Mike Young. Glad to have you here. We appreciate it. Love My Renovation Project is all about renovation projects, renovation products by either the FHA, Homestyle, or VA. There's actually 9 different renovation products out there that we're aware of, but those are the 3 main ones that we deal with every day. If you haven't already heard, some time ago, VA started a renovation program up to $35,000 that requires a consultant. And recently, they added a full consultation regardless of the amount to fix. So veterans out there, if you're listening, you can buy a VA a home with a VA loan and get the money to fix it up all at the same time in the same loan. And that's pretty powerful. So if you can buy a fixer, you might be able to save a little money, make some equity in the process. Anyway, if you'd like to be part of the show today, please feel free to call in at 888-627-6008, toll free, and ask your renovation questions. Now, while most of the 203Ks go off without a hitch, from time to time you may find yourself with nobody to talk to on your side of the situation that understands the 203K product. Or the 203K program. So if you have a problem with your renovation project and you're already in construction and you're just not getting along with the contractor, or there may be a myriad of different problems that you might face and no one's listening to you, feel free to give us a call. We'll talk about it on the air. Or if you want to be private, feel free to go to our website at 203k911.com. And send us a message there. Let us know a little bit about your project, what's going on, and what you feel is not happening the way it should be. We've been able to help quite a few people over the past few years since that site's been up. And I would say 99% of them without a fee attached to it. We've had 3 or 4 that the lender has actually come out and sent a new contracting crew and completely redid the entire project fully at their expense when they realized they were negligent and they weren't going to snow the client. But anyway, I thought they were admirable of them to do that. Anyway, some question that came in this week from one of our consultant listeners is, can the contractor get some upfront money to get the project started? Well, this is a question in every project, sadly. What we do when we do our consulting is, in our Section 35, we've added 8 notes. If you want those notes, just send me an email. I'll be happy to share them with you. If you're in our group, you already have them. So in one of those notes, it says that you cannot get any upfront money, period. So the contractor, when he says, Mike, you never told me that, I can pull this piece of paper out and show him his signatures on the same page that says that and circle it. I said, I not only said it, you read it and you agreed to it. There's your signature. Now, having said that, there is some upfront money available. What did I do with that? Anyway, the upfront money that is available is for cabinetry, floor coverings, and the like. And you can get up to 50% advance on those items if, in fact, you have a material cost for items prepaid by the borrower or in cash or by the contractor, where a contract is established with the supplier and an order is placed with the manufacturer for delivery at a later date. You can also get up to 50% of materials cost for items not yet paid for the borrower or contractor, where a contract is established with the supplier and an order is placed for delivery at a later date. This is reading right from the guideline, the current guideline, the 4000.1. So to request release of funds for those items, the consultant must provide a mortgagee with a copy of the contract and an order with the draw request. So you just treat it just like you would any other draw request, but you have to have that contract for a delivery at a future date. And then they'll make the check directly to that supplier. Contractor's not going to get a bunch of money and run out and use it for five other things and hope that he'll recover that money in time to order these things. We're working on a project right now, maybe two, where the contractor has refused to buy the cabinets. The cabinet maker in California, due to the fires, is so busy. He's only interested in taking jobs that are taking jobs that are 100% prepaid. So, but work must be completed on change orders after the work is 100% complete. All right, so if you have a change order and it's for materials, you can get paid up front directly to the supplier. But any other way, boy, this everything is ringing today. I love it. Not. Anyway, if there's a established a change order for installing cabinetry, as an example, or additional cabinets or a vanity that wasn't in the original scope of work, those items must be 100% done before we can pay any part of it. So be careful. Talk to your consultant ahead of time. Make sure that you're in good shape. I don't want you to get caught without any money in your pocket and no credit, and you're sitting there on a big 203K job you can no longer perform. So it's a difficult task for sure. Okay, let's get back to where we were. Can the contractor get upfront money? Click on that one. Let's see what else it says. Change order requests. Ah, got a little ahead of myself. The consultant must complete a change order request, but the work must be complete. So if you're doing a change order for some dry rot that was discovered during the course of construction, maybe you're taking the kitchen cabinets out and the drywall behind the cabinets comes with it, or a portion of it, and you see inside there and it just dry rot. There's no studs. A couple years ago, I had a guy up in Fort Bragg, California, that wanted to, he was an electrician, and he wanted to do a lot of the work himself personally. Now, it was raining that day. We were being rained on inside the house because the roof was shot. And he starts telling me what his plan was to put a new roof on this house and then work all winter long on his days off and weekends and do the electric because he's an electrician and just work on it. I said, you can't put a roof on this house until you fix the structure. And he said, what are you talking about? It's standing here, isn't it? I said, yeah, but you don't have any studs supporting this. What's supporting the roof right now is the siding and the drywall. And he, what are you talking about, Mr. Young? So I walked over into the corner, and just off of the corner, I didn't want to take the corner out. I reached down and I put my hand through the drywall that just fell apart and poked out a big chunk of it, and he saw that there was no studs. I had already seen in another part of the house that this was the case. It's the only reason I knew it. But he said, if I'd have climbed on that roof, this whole thing would have come down. I said, yeah, I don't think it'd hold your weight. It certainly wouldn't hold the weight of a new roof. So homeowners tend to want to do a lot of the work themselves, especially if they have a trade. It's not always the best. I always recommend using licensed contractors in spite of your knowledge. Do what you do best that earns your money and let other professionals work on your house. If for some reason the house burns down due to faulty electrical system and you were the electrician that did it, you don't have anybody to sue. You don't have anybody to help put that house together. And another thing, there's a lot of contractors that are going in and out of business. In fact, I know one that used to close his business for every year or two and then start a new business. And every 2 or 3 years, you would close that one and start another one. It was done as a way he had to limit his liability somehow. I'm not going to guess on that one. Anyway, if the work requires something to be signed off and a permit, then that permit must be submitted with the change order for payment. You can't just do a change order for work that requires a permit that you don't already have and ignore the permit process. The lender will hold that up. Now, in about 5 minutes, we're going to be starting the American Dream Machine seminar. It's very short, about 30 minutes, and we're just going to walk through the basics of a 203K program. We're not going to take questions on it. I mean, you can certainly write the questions in and send them or call in and ask questions after the fact. But during that 30 minutes, we're not going to be slowing down because I want people to hear it in its entirety. We give this seminar, we've been doing it since 1994. We do it with a twist so that people, the insiders in our organization, all are privy to what that twist is. But it's the same seminar that is given thousands of times a week, maybe thousands of times a day, across the nation by consultants, lenders. We do one little thing different, and our difference creates orders in the room. So if you haven't taken our training and you do want to know about that, we recommend that you sign up for the training at 203ksoftware.com. Click on products, slide down. About the fourth product is 203K training. Even if you've been a consultant for a couple of years, you want to take the training. It's the advanced training that you literally want, but to get it, you have to take the basic training. So anyway, we will be back in a very short order. Stick around. We'll get into that. If you want to be part of the show, again, call us at 888, wish I knew my number by heart, 627-6008. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
.com. If you're having issues with your renovation project, we may be able to assist you. It's nice to know you have a knowledgeable person on your side. We recently had a client that had a lender telling them that the problem wasn't theirs, but it was the correspondent lender's. Ultimately, they agreed it was their problem and remedied the issue quickly. Most issues have been handled without a fee. Visit 203k911.com now and let's fix your problems.
Hey, welcome back. This is Mike Young with Love My Renovation Project. Again, we don't love them all, but we love most of them. Most of them go on without a hitch. If you have a hitch, just realize that it's probably 1 out of 100 that's going to give you problems. So just think about that. realize you're getting your problem out early if it's before the 100th. We've literally done thousands of them, and we've had our share of headaches as well as everyone else. But anyway, we're going to talk about the American Dream Machine. That's what we called 203K Basics, the American Dream Machine. If you go to 203KOnline.com and scroll down, you'll see some handy downloads. The first one is 203K Basics, a.k.a. the American Dream Machine, and you can follow along with us. That's going to be updated later today, possibly tomorrow. Just depends on how lazy I get this afternoon, I guess. We're taking all reference to nonprofits out of it. Because, not because they can't do them, they can, but there's no lenders that we've found so far nationally that are willing to loan to a nonprofit. Why? That's their reasons, whatever there are. We're not happy about it because there's a lot of business to be had there and a lot of upgrading of neighborhoods, a lot of gentrification that could take place in poor neighborhoods if a lender would see their way clear to loaning to nonprofits. To me, it's a pretty safe bet because the nonprofits, you qualify each of their elders. If it's a church, each of their board of directors. If it's not. So anyway, getting on with the seminar. What is a 203K loan? A 203K loan is a fully disbursed loan which allows the borrower to purchase or refinance a property and finance the cost of the rehab with one loan. That's major. Okay, because it's fully disbursed at closing, the house can be insured under the 203K program at the closing. Lenders get their commissions at the closing. Realtors get their commissions at the closing. Then the work starts after that. And the consultant, as an inspector, then always stays with the project until it's finished, till completion. At no time is the consultant an advocate for the client. Recently, I had that problem. Somebody said I wasn't a good advocate for them when they were having trouble with the contractor, and I don't know where they got the idea that we, as a consultant or a inspector, are anybody's advocate. We are not. So some of the advantages of 203K loan is the upfront mortgage insurance premium can be financed. So even though it's a pretty hefty amount of money, it's several thousand dollars, it can be financed in your loan. They can also finance up to 6 months mortgage payments during the construction. Now that's important to know. They can't just blanket give you 6 months mortgage payments. If you're project is only a two-month project and you move in, the consultant slash inspector is supposed to be by there every 30 days. So let's say I go into there at the end of 60 days and the client is living in the house. We are the lender's eyes and ears as inspectors in the field. So as soon as we see the people are living in the house, we must notify, or should notify, the lender to cut off any more mortgage payments that they may have ready to go. So we're not going to just keep paying those mortgage payments while you are working and earning and saving money. They stop when you move into that house. Now, I've seen people sitting there with their truck loaded and ready to unload and move into the house. As I did the inspection and drove away, they opened the truck and started moving in the house to maximize the amount of mortgage payments they do get. But we've also seen lenders tell contractors on a two-month project, oh, you have now no more than 6 months to finish this project. Well, that's not true. Read the guideline. It says finance up to 6 months. The consultant says this is a 60-day project. You got 2 months. Homebridge Mortgage likes you to put in there, the house will not be habitable for 3 months after the close of escrow. That they will determine 3 months is three payments or four payments. But that's their determination, and we as consultants will just notify them as uninhabitable for X number of days after the close of escrow. Most of the closing costs can be financed. That's cool. So most of your closing costs can be financed, keeping your down payment smaller. Special HUD down payment programs are available for HUD houses. So when you're buying a house in a neighborhood, I recommend that you get on the HUD foreclosure list and take a peek at what's available. Ask your realtor if he does HUD homes, because there's some heck of deals out there. You put $100 down, and that's a whole lot less than 3.5% in many cases. An FHA loan is assumable. So all FHA loans are assumable, always have been since 1934. So if you're buying a home and there's already a FHA loan in place, maybe it was put in there a year or 2 years ago, and you have the cash down to make up the difference in the sales price and what they have it financed for, you can assume that loan. You still need to go to a lender and you need to get approval that you qualify to make the payments in order to let the other people out of that loan. We also gain a 10% advantage on the appraised value. That can be huge. So if you're, to explain what that means, if you get in there and your appraised value comes in at 10% under your purchase price and renovation costs, you can pick up that 10% by automatically in the program. It's just a disclosure form that your lender will have you sign saying that you're paying 10% more for this house than what it appears it's worth. Limited 203K has no minimum loan amount, but there is a $35,000 maximum loan amount, and that's a misnomer. The $35,000 includes costs and fees of about $850, so that takes you down to $34,150, and then a 10, 15, or 20% contingency in many cases. So the real life maximum loan amount for a limited 203K is about $28,000 if they're requiring a 20% contingency. So be careful, because the way the guideline is written is kind of confusing, because it says it's up to $35,000. But it also says including costs and fees. So if your lender is getting you into a limited 203K and the contractor's bid is $34,000 or $35,000 maximum, and they require a 10% contingency, this is now a full or standard 203K. Once it flips to a standard, it is not supposed to go back, ever. It's a gate valve, or excuse me, a check valve. So once you go past that check valve and it's into the higher loan amount, it's a full or standard 203K. So any lender that takes you there is fooling themselves, because sooner or later they're going to get caught. They're going to say the contractor's bid was 35, but we cut it back to 28 so we could use the contingency. That is not what the contingency is used for. On the standard, a full 203K, there's no limit on the amount of construction. There is a maximum loan amount, so maximum loan limit, and that's based on your county in your state. No construction cost limit. However, it might be fun to let you guys know, I have done 203Ks up to $544,000. We're doing one right now that's $530,000 in construction costs. Now you say, how can that happen? Well, in California, the maximum loan amount in many of the counties we work in is $679,000. So if you inherited a house free and clear, like one of our clients did recently, you could borrow up to $679,000 and some change for the construction only. So that's pretty cool. Let's go about what properties are eligible for the 203K. Any 1 to 4 unit property is eligible for financing under the 203K that has had a certificate of occupancy for at least 12 months, 1 year. Okay, as long as the zoning requirements allow it. So I find people all the time that catch a single family house or a duplex that's zoned for up to 4. It's, you know, a 5,000 square foot lot. It's on the corner. It's built right out to the sidewalk. You can take that thing up in the air and then put a detached garage or a carport for the tenants and a gate with an automatic opener. Lots of things you can do. One of the funnest ones I did a couple that were 5-unit buildings. One was a 4-unit building that somebody scabbed in a 5th unit in Berkeley. And when they did, Berkeley has rent control. And once you put a unit in service and you log it with the rent control, you can't take it out of service, even though it's illegal. They don't work together there very well. So we ended up having another project where a guy was adding 2 units, and we went down to the city hall and asked them, say, we're going to take this down to 5 units. And of course, they started yelling already. And no, you can't say that. I said, wait a minute, we're putting this one over here in service to offset that one. And the guy behind the counter says, they don't seem to know each other. These houses are 3 blocks apart. And I said, that's okay. They both know me. And this is called a community working together. And the guy says, oh, I'm not complaining. I'm tickled. So he authorized the five-unit fourplex to be converted back to a fourplex. Another one was a 5-unit building zoned as 5 units. And 5 units is considered a commercial property. Okay, it's considered a commercial property. So you have to get zoning to allow you to go to 4 units. The city finally realized that building was an eyesore for a long time, and simply by waving that magic wand of theirs and changing the zoning for this property to 1 to 4 units, we were able to get in there and get rid of the eyesore for the community and get this thing back on track. Okay, so we're going to take a short break again, and then we'll be back and finish up the American Dream Machine.
Thinking of becoming a 203K consultant? Contact us to see if you qualify. Home inspectors, contractors, architects, and engineers most likely qualify. Create an additional profit center using your existing knowledge base. For more information, visit 203ksoftware.com, and you'll be glad you did.
Okay, we're back. So homes that have been demolished or razed, continuing on, which properties are eligible? Homes that have been demolished or razed as part of the rehabilitation process can be rehabbed as long as the existing foundation system is not affected. Years ago, we had one that was 2 houses on a lot. One was rented for $450 a month. The other one literally was so rotted out, but the foundation was in fine shape. So the idea there would be to take the rotted out house and just remove it down to the foundation and rebuild it on that foundation. So you're rebuilding it exactly the same way it was. You could add on to it if the footprint allowed. I mean, if you if your lot allowed the footprint to be enlarged like that, it could still be a 203K. One of the things we've had fun with over the years is houses that are moved on to a foundation. In fact, we had one just a couple days ago where the lender called us and said, we've got a manufactured home that we want to move on to a lot. Can we do that? I said, well, if it meets the criteria. So we walked through the criteria, and all of a sudden he said, oh, no, no, this manufactured home was taken off of a lot and moved to a storage facility and set there for 2 years. Now we want to move it back out. I said, no, that scenario does not fit the FHA 203K program. I'm sorry, but we do have to meet the guidelines. We've had houses that have been raised for the widening of a street. What we need to do is we need to get out there. HUD Engineering wants to take a look at that house before it's moved to verify that it has the ability to be moved safely. And once they say, yes, this house qualifies, then we can move it to the new site. But you can build the foundation for the new site and have it ready, so when you bring this house over and set it down and bolt it to the foundation, that's when all the transportation costs can be paid, all the moving costs, all the dismantling at the old site and all so forth and the foundation. But there are rules, and there's a lot of house movers that move houses onto their lot and they set on their lot. They would be wise to get permission before they move those houses from HUD to make it a HUD saleable house under the 203K. If they don't do that, then it's just not going to work. So let's see, where are we? Any property that qualifies where the buyer wants to convert either from a single family house to a 2-4 unit building or from a 2-4 unit dwelling back to a single family house. Again, my favorites are the 5-8 units. We had an 8-plex once that was all studios, and we turned it into a real cash cow for the client. We turned it into 3- and 4-bedroom units. If you're dealing with Section 8 housing and you're going to keep these properties as rentals, and you're going to live in one, of course, and rent the others out on Section 8, that's not a bad way to go because the money's in your bank account on the first of every month. Just be careful, because a lot of the people that run Section 8 are actually on Section 8, understand the way the game is played, and if their portion of the rent is $100 and Section 8 is paying you $2,000, they likely aren't going to pay you unless they're honest people. So check them out, make sure they're good. And there's some really beware things there that you need to be aware of. So if you get that situation or you're going in that direction, feel free to give me a call. We'll talk about it. I'll explain some of the pitfalls that you may be facing. I used to have lots of Section 8 contracts, and they were very good for cash flow. A 203K can be used on a mixed-use residential property, providing it meets the following requirements. 1, the floor space used for the commercial purposes does not exceed 49%. Okay, that's whether it's a single family, a single story, two story, or three story. The commercial use must not affect the health and safety of the residential occupants. Well, that seems fair. If you're collecting rent from them, you don't want to kill them. The rehabilitation funds will only be used for the residential functions of the dwelling. Areas used to access the residential part of the property. So you can put new drywall and stairs and all that up into the second story or third or whatever. That qualifies. That's part of the residential access. The commercial, you can paint the outside of the entire building, including the commercial. But all other improvements inside the commercial are considered tenant improvements. So those have to be paid for by the tenant when they move in. If you're trying to fake it and do that, say it's not going to be commercial, when it is, you're committing fraud against FHA, and it's not a wise thing to do. Okay, you can also rehab condominiums, but they're only eligible for owner-occupied properties. Well, all FHA loans are owner-occupied, so I don't even know why they state that way. I was doing a talk in Cotati, California, by Santa Rosa, and before I started, the realtors were on parade, and they told you about houses they come up or a buyer they had, and they're looking for a property that may be a pocket listing from one of their cohorts. He said, I need a condominium in this particular condo project. It must be on the lower level. And I know about the one that had a fire. I don't want to see that. I don't want to show it to anybody. But if you have anything else coming up, let me know right away. And then I was asked to step up and speak. And I said, interesting thought. You have a condominium that recently had a fire. I'm assuming you can buy it pretty cheap. And they said, yeah, very, very cheap, way under market. And I said, what would be wrong with taking all the drywall out of it, fixing all the fire burn, and putting all new drywall, fresh paint, fresh carpeting, or floor coverings, all new kitchen, all new bathrooms, all new plumbing and electrical? It will be the best unit in the entire complex, and it's on the first floor. Oh, wow. And I said, yeah, wow. You just told your client you don't want them to have the best unit in the entire complex at roughly half price. Oh, so, you know, you have to stand back and look at some of these things a little differently than you've been used to. Some of the things you can do is you can build a detached garage. So if you've got a house sitting out there and, you know, I did one in, actually, I was the follow-up inspector on one that was being done in, gosh, what was the name of that little town in North Carolina? But anyway, it was a single-family house, nothing wrong with it, not a thing. The entire project was building a two-car detached garage. And you can do that with a 203K. You can build a detached garage provided there's no living area in that garage. So don't try to build a second story on top of it and equip it with a kitchenette and all that stuff, because it becomes living area. It's obvious. We're not stupid. Inspectors aren't. The lenders aren't. And certainly HUD is not stupid. So if you want to build a garage and living area, it has to be attached to the main house with a common wall. It used to be able, they used to let it slide if you had a, an archway, or a, you might put a garage and then the living area. So you had your original house, a garage, and then living area. That does not fly anymore. The new living area must have a common wall with the main house. We can do non-residential that turns into residential. So realtors, you're out there listening and you're selling commercial property, and you notice that this little one-story commercial structure goes vacant about every 6 months and goes back on the market as a foreclosure and it's resold. Why not add, if possible, residential to the upper, an upper level? Build a second story and put residential. Now it qualifies. Instead of 35% down, you can get it sold for 3.5% down. And the residential is going to carry the mortgage. We did a house on 3rd Street in San Francisco that was an inheritance. The guy had been living there, working in his store down below for years, and didn't realize he was sitting on a gold mine. We came out and looked. It had 3 stories of residential above that had been gutted. All the copper was taken out. So the plumbing was gone, the electrical was gone, but it was also gutted, so it's very easy to come put all that stuff back in. We don't have to cut the drywall away or the lath and plaster. Even the lath had been removed, the lath and plaster. So by the time we finished our feasibility, it looked like this guy was going to net about $7,000 a month positive cash flow and have a place to live too. So there's all kinds of possibilities. You need to open your eyes to and open your mind to seeing these properties different than they are currently configured. Okay. In the guideline, it talks about home buyers and nonprofits can refinance properties. There's no nonprofits anymore. They're there. They can still borrow. Problem is finding a lender that's willing to loan to a nonprofit. So if you can find one, please let me know, because I've got lots of business for that lender that's willing to do that. But home buyers can refinance a property within 6 months. One of the funnest jobs I ever did was in Vacaville, California. A few years back when I got there, they had bought this house and they had gutted it. A contractor bought it. He and his wife had gutted the house. They'd taken all of the drywall out of the house or the lath and plaster. I don't remember if it had lath and plaster or not, but they gutted it. Took the kitchen out, the bathrooms. They were kind of halfway living in the house, so they left one bathroom functional and part of the kitchen functional. But they had just bought it, and they did that all in 2 months. They'd only had it 2 months when they heard about the 203K program. And by them refinancing right then, before 6 months was up, which we did, they were able to take all that cash that they put into the house as if they had just put it in. They only had to come up with a small amount, 3.5% of the renovation costs, because they'd already put 3.5% down on the house. And we refinanced it through the same lender that financed it in the first place so that they wouldn't lose their commission. Because that's what happens. That's why lenders will tell you all the time, you can't refinance this thing for 6 months, or you can't refinance it for a year. That's because that's their agreement with Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac or FHA. So when you do refinance immediately, they have the chance to lose and pay back their commissions on that loan that they made for you. So if they did a good job, just talk to them about refinancing the new portion. And they refinance the entire portion, but you get the credits. Many borrowers may have gone through a divorce. They owned a house with their spouse, and during the divorce, the spouse got the house. And the mouse. No. Anyway, so the spouse got the property and they lost it. And in doing so, they qualify as a first-time home buyer immediately and can purchase under the FHA products. So we've got eligible improvements we'll talk about in just another minute. We're going to take another short break. If you want to be part of the show, and I hope that young lady calls back, I apologize, but I couldn't hear it all. It was so much static in my ear, I just couldn't make it out. My engineer says a lot of times that'll go away. If you call back in, he'll get you on the line and make sure it's gone away, and then we'll bring you on the air. But, so call in at 888-627-6008, and please accept my apologies for having to hang that up, but it was excruciating in my ears. Thank you. We'll see you right after this break.
We know which lenders are all talk and which ones can actually close your loans faster. You can depend on our consultants for the facts before you choose a lender. There are many lenders who will tell you they need 60 to 90 days to close a renovation loan. Those aren't the ones to choose. A 203K can close as fast as a 203B, unless the lender is trying to play all the possible positions on the field. The 203K is a team sport, and you should have the team members that know what to do. If your LO is constantly calling the consultant to see how is it going, you may want to reevaluate that member. Each member has a job. Let them perform their part while you perform yours. The countdown doesn't start until the lender gets your financial information. Visit 203K911.com. We know what to do.
Hey, welcome back. Again, if you want to be part of the show, please call us at 888-627-6008 and be part of the show. Eligible improvements. What kind of things can you do with the FHA 203K? You can pretty much do anything you want to do short of luxury items. You're not going to be able to build a spa or a hot tub or a swimming pool, something like that. But recently, they did increase the amount of money you could put into the repair of an existing swimming pool. So, but eligible improvements, there must be $5,000 worth of eligible or necessary improvements on the subject property. We had one where there was absolutely nothing wrong with the house, but what they wanted to do was add a room. They loved the neighborhood. They didn't want to lose the schools that their kids were in, and they were having an extra kid, so they wanted another room to put in. So they were going to convert the lower basement style room that was above grade and make it a living area, include a new bedroom and bathroom. So that $5,000 is easily met with a room addition. But you must have some of these following items. You must have some structural repairs. Well, a room addition is structural. Any kind of addition to the structure would qualify. Improvements in the functionality or modernization. Recently, we had a people that wanted to add a bedroom, and the only place they could figure to add the bedroom was off the back of another bedroom. Well, you can't use the 203K to build in functional obsolescence. So we had to figure a different way to get to that room in order to call it, or make that the bedroom and make the first room a den. So you had to go through the den to go to the bedroom. But we can't just build in functional obsolescence. You can do changes for aesthetic appeal. So you want to change siding, exterior sliding doors, exterior siding if that's needed. You can repair or replace the plumbing system, heating, air conditioning, electrical. Installation of any new plumbing fixtures are acceptable. All this counts as part of that $5,000. So if you're doing a renovation of an existing home, that's fine. Most anything you want to do to it is going to be good. Installation of a well and or septic systems is fine and can be counted. By the way, any kind of that, any work of that sort must be a standard or full 203K. There are or were some lenders out there that were using the streamlined 203K, hitting it for about $28,000 and putting a new septic system in. That is against the guideline. Septic systems, wells must be part of a full or standard 203K. You can replace the flooring, carpeting, tiling. You can use energy conservation improvements. So you can put in new dual-pane windows and doors, storm windows, add insulations, solar domestic water heating systems. You can put in solar electric systems provided the equipment is owned. We've done one of those where the guy put in a 45 kV system, but he owned the panels. And most of the time, people try to sell you leasing the panels where they own the panels, and then they sell you because they own them. They have to keep the upkeep on them. Major landscape work and site improvement can be part of the 203K. You can add a patio or terrace to improve the value of the property equal to their cost, okay, or that are needed to preserve the property from erosion. We had a room addition that we were doing down in Morgan Hill years ago, and they leveled the backyard, put the room addition in, and then realized, oh my goodness, this when it rains, it's just going to wash away. So knowing that ahead of time, we added it to the scope of work that we were going to put in a sprinkler system and a sawed lawn at that time. Wouldn't do a sawed lawn in California today. I don't know that they would let us. But anyway, first thing the lender thought was, no, that sounds like landscaping. And I said, it is landscaping for erosion control. If we don't plant some grass here, keep that soil in place, that soil is going to wash away pretty badly at the first sign of the winter storms. Here's a big one. Improvements for easier accessibility to the handicapped. Handicap retrofitting can be included in the cost of renovation. This is a particularly good to get this information out to the in the hands of vocational rehab companies and companies that deal with disabilities. This may be a whole new list of clients for you. They may provide that. But you can widen doors. In many cases, the wheelchairs need a wider door. You need a roll-in shower so that they can wheel the wheelchair directly into the shower. You know, we've done quite a few of those over the years. The following items can be included in addition to the minimum $5,000 requirements. In other words, once you meet the $5,000, you can also do new cooking ranges, refrigerators, and other standalone appliances. You can do painting and other cosmetic repairs, fencing, new walks, new driveways. A client did a beautiful driveway with pavers. It was exceeded my expectations, I know. But the big change in the 2015 guideline was being able to fix swimming pools regardless of the cost to do so, provided you're not building a brand new pool. So we have several lookalikes. Investors are no longer allowed with the 203K, as everyone knows. But there are investor products out there. Investors can purchase single-family houses only with 25% down on the purchase price and rehab amount. This is important. Right now, I go to some of these meetings with the REIA, the Real Estate Investment Association. They're everywhere. They're teaching investors how to be investors. In many cases, however, the investors there have enough money to buy a house. So they pay cash, maybe $250,000, $300,000 cash, and they buy the house, and then they take another $150,000 or $200,000, and they add to that, and they fix it up, and then they sell it. Is that really an investor? There's no risk there. No real risk. Well, can they take the same amount of money and buy three or four of these at a time? Now they're an investor, in my opinion. They're putting 25% down, so they could use the same money that they're currently using for one house and maybe parlay that easily into three and do three a month instead of one a month, or three every quarter instead of one every quarter. We also have some portfolio products. We have a couple of lenders nationally. Well, one of them is national. One of them is the 11 Western states, I believe. But these portfolio products, check with your lenders, because some of your lenders offer loans on single-family houses only that go up to $3 million, including the purchase and the renovation. $3 million. The average sale price of a house in San Francisco, California is $1.5 million. So anytime you can buy a house for $800,000 or $900,000 and fix it for $300,000 or $400,000, you can sell it overnight for $1.5 million in the city. So we have those going all the time. New construction is not a problem. It's also not an FHA product. It's a not an FHA product. It's a conventional product. And we will be back next week at the same time, 1 to 2 p.m. on Sunday, every Sunday. And next week, I think we're going to be primarily talking about some other aspects of the new guideline. If I can find it here on my desk. So anyway, look forward to that. Next time, we're going to be talking about the guideline and some of the things, how many draw inspections are allowed and why on each 203K project. But I want to thank you all for being here. Thank you so much. And we'll see you next time.
Tune in every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time to BBS Radio Station 1 and learn more about making home renovations possible, profitable, and hassle-free. Isn't it time you learned how to make money doing something you loved? Visit 203konline.com now and let's get your home makeover projects done right.